tonight I'm very delighted that an old friend of mine, somebody who has been around the Asian American community for a very long time, is with us tonight. And he has been certified psychotherapist at the Coney Island Hospital for the past, should I say, 27 years. And he has been around working in Chinatown community, providing marital and family therapy for a long time. And he's very involved in especially in the Chinese community with the families. And he has been commissioner of human rights of New York City. And also he is a board member of Chinese American Planning Council and many other organizations in the Asian American community. And tonight he's going to be talking to us about family violence and communication. Please welcome Mr. Ed Ma.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, the Airy. You know, and I appreciate very much, you know, the Chinese American and their town leadership. We have such place we can advocate for our cause and for community, for future, for academic research. Many aspects we are able to try to improve the academic research and the community service. And I'm very appreciative to have this chance to have a little season lecture, just workshop. I think that every one of you are expert on families, and there's so many things happening in the community. I just felt very compelled to study, to hold this topic, and very extreme topic and extreme cases. I think the whole thing is boiled down. It's very simple. It's family violence or family tragedy. And how to prevent this? There's so many reasons. There's so many things. But actually, boiling down is love, hate, acceptance, refusal. There's so many things that, you know, the oppositional forces together in the family and all kinds of situations. But I think even many years ago, a thousand years ago, the Confucius said, the whole situation in the personal relationship, the whole world, is involving give and take, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. The baby, you know, as I see, you know, correctly, when the baby was born, the family, the parents argue or whatever, the pinching or not pinching, the child were holding on, letting go. The Freud also holding on and letting go. They involve the three stages, the anal and the three rep, the three stages, the holding on. So this is a record set by some people, fortune teller, look at this, you know, the recording or historic family recording, holding on and letting go. The whole thing is of course, there's so many things, you know, you can find out. But tonight I just like to mention about a few cases I got involved. Even though they are, let's start from the first cases, please. And the first case, I think some of you know already, is happening in November. November is a mainstream newspaper, New York Times, Daily News, and also about this, you know, 70-year-old, you know, Chinese girl, because of the racial, and the parent couldn't accept the daughter's association with the African American young, unemployed, and especially the parent has been here, to my surprise, 25 years, still unable to adapt. And adapt to the, you know, Asian American community, American culture, they accept the diversity. And also, I have to say this, the mother is, the mother was a stepmother, the father's, you know, from this stepmother, yeah. And just couldn't accept this kind of versus, yeah, that's an elderly brother. She was 17 that time, now it's 19 or 20. And the case was on trial recently. Still, the verdict is not clear. You know, I followed World Journal. But a very, very interesting thing, the very, very interesting family dynamics, you can see the elder brother, 22 or 21 years old, the parents' body were hiding under the bed. 2 or 3 days. You know, the elder brother came after 2 days. You know, when the elder brother came home, you know, the working restaurant office came home at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, even did he ask? You know, Tommy, where's daddy? Where's mommy? Who did he ask? It's very interesting. After a couple of days, it happened. The other relatives called, I think the mother's sister called, they found something wrong. Then report the police and start the search. And finally, they were able to report to the police. It's not about the mother, they didn't know. It's just missing person to find where is Tommy now. Finally, search. Her and her boyfriend and stay together in Hawaii. And the family they found out, you know. And it's very interesting, even happening in November 2000, and recently in June or July on trial, and she denied the whole thing. The man accept, you know, admit the problem. And it's very, very brutal the situation, you know, they took them and with the belt and dumped the body into the river. And it's a very one, I saw this case, I was very scared, you know, as a mental health worker, to have this kind of, you feel responsible, you know, you feel, how could this thing happen in the model community? How could this happen? You know, it's really, really unfortunate. And this is another thing, is that postman, you know, there's a Chinese working in the post office, and it's supposed to be, you know, adapt all well, you know, professionally. And but it's very interesting, when he returned, he divorced with his wife, and he moved out, he by himself, his two adult sons, and his beloved dog still live with the original family. So he came home to see the two sons feeding the dog. But anyway, so when he asked, it's a very rare case, you know, the father gave the money to two sons and asked them back. And so when he asked the money back, the son said, well, we took care of your dogs. You know, that's costly. So family, there's arguing in the family, she shot, you know, them, and of course not fatal. And then the court trial, I think that early this year, and the two sons refused to testify against the father, but the consequence, I didn't know. So I don't know whether there was a case or not. So this is very, very unusual case. That this case is very interesting. Yeah, this is another case. This is happening in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad you know.
I read it.
Yes. Yeah. And this is very unusual. The mother, the background I give, the mother has a PhD in chemistry. Graduated from Brown University, and she has been attorney here many years, divorced, but has an 8-year-old daughter. And the man, only 2 years from China, and they married. Apparently, the mother was employed, and the father at home unemployed, took care of the children. So when the two, it happened, this is Chinese way, you know, the father, the 8-year-old girl, we will wonder why the mother let the stepfather touch such sensitive area, you know, and instead she does herself, you know, we always question why. And it happened, I guess the mother very, very busy, and they delegated all this, because Chinese men doing all the kind of things. you know, all kind of things, you know, all cooking, cleaning, everything with their wife and working, you know. So I don't know why she's, you know, using this medical cream to her daughter's private part. And so that's why just happened the next day, the sex education. The sex education has been, you know, the doll, the more graphically, visibly, to pinpoint in the children very, you know, abstract, so better pinpoint. And the girl, it accidentally, concurrently, just pointing, you know, my daddy, the previous night. So the teacher immediately, and often the class called the child care worker or caseworker to intervene. And the father, apparently, I think the English is not very good, so he called his wife to be home. And he went to be home, and happened to be this man has a licensed gun. It's, by the way, I have to say, this man, I saw the picture, I didn't bring. It's a very handsome looking man, you know. And it happened to be, yes, you know, licensed gun. Then, so the two childcare workers saw this situation be left. So they left the mother and the parents saw this left. Some people, after a few minutes, the four police cars, siren, you know, surround the house. They even didn't touch the, not the door. They just broke into the glasses, the back door, the window, the floor, the window, the glass window, glass door of the back door, you know, the patio door. And they started this gun battle. And then one police leg was shot. And one officer shot dead. So the mother was accused of child neglect. And then I think stay overnight or 1 week, I don't know, remember. But two children were placed at her aunt, you know, the mother's sister's place. And I think, I don't remember, you know, how long, but finally they all released, coming home, and the mother was subject to the trial. You know, I don't know what the result I didn't follow. But this is very, very, I was saying, you know, I was thinking, if there's a parent-child PTA meeting, if the school knew the family, you know, calling hi, you know, very, you know, friendly or communicative way, they wouldn't, you know, of course, they could possible maybe just call the family, find out what's going on. Instead, they call the family, they call the child care worker. So that's, I think, very, very fatal situation. This case, and you know, it's a very interesting, I just 2 days ago, 3 days ago, the World Journal, and it happened to happen, had worded it, I was so, I shouldn't say happy to cut the news, so I up to date, updating, and this also, the case was published in World Journal in March or April, and at that time, the news didn't give a correct record, said 2 years ago. I wonder why only 2 years the ex-wife reported police. Now later, more accurate, even the month and the date, I just mentioned the date. In 1995, the whole case is amazing. The ex-wife is the American wife, Caucasian wife. It's the divorcee with the daughter. And in the beginning, the family object another, just a piece of one, object to, you know, different racial, interracial marriage. And so the parents and the older brother sent him to Taiwan for psychiatric treatment. I don't know how long, but when he returned, I don't know whether it was his wife there or I don't know the information. When he returned, he was so mad. I think that was 1995. And that's why he, I think there's a collaborator, I forgot the collaborator is an American name, I didn't put down. And so she shot, or removed the body, yeah. She shot his parents, and Jose Sharp, his elder brother. And this man, Caucasian man, helped him remove the body. Very interestingly, also dumping the body in Chesapeake Bay. And the bodies never recovered. But the newspaper mentioned very real. You give verdict without evidence of the body. But finally, according to the mentioned, could be a death sentence, but since he was cooperative at confession, made a confession and made an admission, so he gets a life sentence for 27 years and 1 month. And also he also forged his signature on the deed of 5 houses. The parents and his elder brother, they have 5 houses. All family houses using his forged signature. And yes, I just, you know, just based on these 4 cases, I used his parents working long hours. He also, I work in the in a clinic at present now, work mostly psychosocial study about for board education. So I, about 4 or 5 cases a week, and I'm doing the psychosocial evaluation. I found most of the Chinese restaurant workers, typically father working restaurant, mother working garment factory, and they work so long hours. And sometimes you have a family at the or school situation, they don't know. And they all they don't do their children, the adults, and oh my mom, that is a study hard. They don't know how to study hard. Always just study hard. You can get 98, 95. Why don't you get 100? And you get 8, but you get 8 plus. So their, you know, their understanding of the children and their understanding of American education system is very limited. So there's a very rarely family dialogue. You have come to America, come to a new relationship, new intimacy. And you know, they assume the old value, old relations still working. And I have another, you know, it's very interesting. It's a very sad thing. The parents, especially the father, assume, I give you good clothing, I feed you, well, go to school. That's it. I don't hear anything. So, especially female adolescent girls, I did physical development, especially very, very more victimized by such negligence, by the parental negligence. And that's why the happened dating, you know, the thing. They assume, especially the father is very, mostly, you know, some of the fathers work for money very hard. They think there's a distortion. They're so preoccupied with money making. They think if they have money, they will solve all the problems. So family, Dean and I, working, Dean and I making money in my house or something. And suddenly find their daughter, their son, grown up, different. And different demanding. So as I see, you know, very sarcastically, I think the parents deny their children's growing up. They like to see them never growing up, emotionally, psychologically. That's more for my need, because they're growing up, they're talking, they're literally just challenge my authority. So they don't like, you know, they're growing up, challenging you, demanding new need. It's just too much trouble. That's why the whole thing, they are unable to. That's why here I mentioned the you know, two-way communication, always one-way communication, much easier. The continuity, they have continuity over time. And their survival depends, survive on the consistent their authority, their parenting, the old value before they came here. And I have to say, most of them, the family background, they were peaceful. Their education were limited. Many of them asked their background, 3-4 years and then school. Or graduate 6 years, or junior high school at most. So they're even not only they come to a big city, metropolitan in New York, even they come to a big city in Fuzhou, in Shanghai, in Guangdong. This is in Canton is a big challenge for them to adapt to the big city. So they are very strict, you know, and they as I said here, you know, apparently since growing up, learn together with their children because, so very from my practice, I always advise the parents, you know, try to, especially golden time, as I see. It's very important our children coming home. Prepare your children coming home. So important, the value, the quality, and the parenting relationship, build that half hour, 1 hour after school hour coming home. If the children at the school with the school teacher, friends, coming home, the parents and the child relationship reinforced at that critical 1 hour, half hour. So let children tell what's going on. They report and to collect, and the parents can learn what's going on. And the children can learn to report, because when they learn to talk, learn to verbalize their feeling about the teacher, the process, the whole day, they learn to report and are able to learn by speaking up, and the parents also can learn. This kind of process, not in many families, don't exist, unfortunately. Number one. Number two, at that time I didn't bring, I think in 1990, during the Mrs. Hillary Clinton, that time she was first lady, she was advocating for the health care insurance. There's time magazine I cut. First, about talking about the bad time stories. And she has such kind of relation called, collaborated with the 15 neurologists with children. I think the topic, children receiving parents' bedtime stories, the brain going better, emotionally going better, intellectually going better. And that has been proved. It's a very psychosocial and biological going. And as I see, another, that's why, you know, we always advocate the bedtime story. And another thing also, also reinforce parent and a child relations. You know, parent working the whole day, you want to be a good parent. When you tell the best story, feel good. Even the child smiling, you know, it's typical. And the parent feel good, is secure, you know, go to bed, no bad dream, no nightmare. So, as I see, you know, the bedtime, fairy stories, and after school, these two very, very critical moments and very important to my practice. And the Chinese also culturally not easy to express feelings. I remember when I was in school, people said, "How do you feel?" And in the beginning I said, "Oh my God, I was serving, don't you do that?" I feel, "How do you feel?" Chinese always say, "Did you eat?" Even so, 12:30, I just finished. Even, 11:30. "Did you eat?" "Yes, I did eat." It's just kind of formal. "How are you? How are you doing?" You know, that's kind of formality. But in America, my first year, first half, 6 months, "How do you feel?" "Oh my God, feed me." It's very hard for me to own feelings. So this is why such Chinese are not used to develop feelings. Feelings are supposed to be felt, but not talk. If I talk, I may offend somebody. So you better not talk. This is hard. And self-revealing is not, you know, you're foolish if you talk about yourself. Better hear other people when you talk. You know, safe, secure is better, you know. Hold on, not letting go. Hold on. You know, you talk. I remember a Japanese movie, Mishinoto. The Sunshine Mima, Sunshine Mima, you know, the Seven Samurai, you know, that samurai. Yeah, that actor. He was walking in the desert or far in the open field of prayer. The two people got together. "I look at you, you look at me." And who said this? "You know who Lord rules?" In two-man confrontation in the open field. the person who opened the mouth looks. It's very interesting. You couldn't hold your head in the, this is meditation, the top here. So you can hold yourself, you know, not strong enough. This is the thing. So not letting go. He was holding on. And the people, the Chinese were the whole year, the whole life, trying to get revenge. Holding on is so strong. Family, you know, family generations hold on, trying to get even. They're trying to get feeling even. And so this is why the father working hard, family is emotionally isolated. And it's very interesting, usually immigrant, this kind of woman is much easier to adopt than men, I have to say. Men in Taiwan, in China, especially in Cuba, they have a higher status, teacher, principal, or whatever, officer, higher position. Coming here, you have to start beginning. This is quite insult for men. But the woman didn't work much, so come here, any work is all right, to start beginning right away. Immediate vocational role can be adapted immediately. That's consistent. But the man is difficult, very, very difficult. So the man's emotion, I often tend to family, the emotion, the social guy, the children, always somehow the mother, you know, much easier. And, you know, this is, also the family, this I always advocate. The family, particularly family, particularly in the community, activities, health fairs and exhibition or something, so the family can be open, exposing family activities to learn something what's going on. You can update yourself and join PT meeting. The parents will learn, so you can talk it at this level with your children. Otherwise, I'm still related to the children. Oh, 5, 10 years ago, when I was in China, I was in Taiwan, I was in India. You know, so families don't learn, you can move forward, always backward. It's always, so this, so most family communication is one way. Another thing recently I learned, because the reason I had the suspense is the peer group sessions I just learned with several professionals, and also participating in the community. Also, there is healing impact for the family, for person, whatever, you know, for the family, total family. There's a healing and therapeutic effect, impact, you know. People from family tension, very tense, you are wrapped in your family, old culture. So wrapped up in old, very, very vulnerable. And there's a crisis, that's how that happened, you know. Couldn't, that's why I'm always exposed to community, things going on, tension release, and learn new things, and help from children, and so multiple beneficial effects, you know, participation in the community activities. So, yes, the next one, please. I think I already, you know, certain kind of, you know, family dialogue. And this is very critical. There's definitely every day, you don't have to be certain time. I always, you know, the parents always said, oh, come to, I don't know how to talk. Especially adolescents, don't know how to talk. And many of them, adolescents, very difficult engaging talking because there's not much talking and there, so it's very hard. You know, even very, very, you know, superficial how school, how doing. And even, you know, very casual conversations are better instead of just silent all the time. And, yes, in the second of family, activities, school, and, yes, police, maintaining communication family, maintaining communication in family, school, and especially Chinese, yes, in my practice. And also, some of the Chinese family, they are very defensive. The children always say, oh, somebody bothered me, some teacher. Parents feel so defensive, argue with the teacher. You know what? Getting worse. And always, please, if you argue with the teacher, behind your children, don't in front of children. Because next time, you know, the children, the loyalty conflict with the teacher, with parents, you know, loyal to parent, loyal to teacher, with the children, terribly, such difficult to handle part of his own emotion. So I always suggest parents, if really, you know, it's better to find out first, instead of in front of the children, arguing with the parents, finally get into, end up, it's always the family at disadvantage, you know, literally, you know, because the, involve so many things, a problem of discrimination or whatever, you know, because parents have opposing power, you know. So I always suggest, you know, go to PTA meeting and always talking. And also I learn from many mothers, I learn from them, especially Puerto Rican mothers. I said, how did you come to school? You don't understand English. Why don't you? Mother Puerto Rican said, well, I just say, thank you, bye-bye. That's me. Hey, that's right. Why don't I tell Chinese family too? Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That's it. This is better than not showing up. Yeah. So the teacher able to integrate the mother and the child together. Otherwise, if the mother, father never show up, you know what? The parents, the teacher's concept of this child, just him or just her alone. And the teacher also human being too. So the treat the child, you can see the negative, of course. Even legally, you know, the teacher, they're human being too. Of course, they pay attention, not pay attention as much when they see together with the adult, their parent there. When they relate to the child, they do not relate to the child. They relate to the child and the, her or his mother, his father, together, as a team, as a group. So it's very important for the parent to go to school. You need to do the school. You know, just go there, thank you. That's it. Bye-bye, that's it. So, and also Chinese don't do volunteer work. And I suggest some of the English speaking as people say, why don't you go to school, help with no English speaking mothers, help teacher, you know, bridge between. And that help the teacher's attitude, understanding Asian, Chinese, learning their work habit, their family situation, from the casual conversation, they can learn more from volunteer and help the family, help the children, so do a lot of bridge work. And so I also advocate to vote. It's very important to vote for school board, for all kinds of and also this, I finished. When I finish, I'd like to mention one more case. This case almost, I'm not going to do this. This case almost 10 years ago. A Cantonese family father married a Taiwan and a mother, Mandarin speaking and Cantonese speaking. And that time I was just before I was a human condition. And the police, I think the father has a gun. And the children already, I think 124, which is school, I think. And the children already report the child abuse. Father very bad temper, mistreated the son and the daughter. Because they separated. Mother already in Taiwan, and he himself was in the restaurant taking care of two children, very frustrated and very frustrated. Already the two children report the counselor. And the counselor also, then one day, I think he didn't shot, but he did have, he wanted to kill himself. He has his gun, and I don't know how this can learn. Finally, he went to the tree, I think the Fujianese, that's right, the Fujianese. And he didn't know the police didn't have any person to talk about Fujianese. Only his brother in Queens. So finally the police got someone to call emergency the police car to get to the Queens, back into Chinatown. And finally, this guy, he shot himself, killed himself. And so, the commission, I talked with Susan Chen. Susan Chen was the Hamilton Medical House Associate Executive Director. She was responsible for mental health. I tried to reopen with someone. How does that happen? Because this case happened in May, and from June we graduated. So it's a very, very diffuse the responsibility. And the child abuse, the case, family, you know, after 2-3 months, very frustrated, I just give up. I thought, what happened in this case? Anyway, this case, you know, finally this case closed. You know, the father shot himself. So he went to the police, and he people vulnerable, which means he this and he said, this is, I just, you know. Yes, I finished my finished my presentation. Any questions?
I don't know if you know about this young woman at Berg College who committed suicide, but her body was recovered from the East River.
From where?
From the river, the East River.
Yeah.
In Manhattan. I think her body was washed ashore on Staten Island.
Yes.
She's a Berg College student.
Yes, I
just a couple of months ago. I don't know what.
No, I didn't follow it. I remember this couple of suicide.
It's our third. You and I have talked about this too, Dr. Town.
But this young woman, it happened 2 months ago, and did she commit suicide or someone?
No, she committed suicide, but the family insisted that she was murdered. Which I found rather interesting.
Korean?
Chinese
from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Yes, I think it's a foreign student. You know, this is very, I think there's a concern in service. You know. But of course, you know, this is why the Asians very, very, you know, I myself work in Konya Hospital, Chai Psychiatry. Over 27 years, and 19, why does it come to China? You know, it's my resistance. Working with the Asian people is very, very hard.
Huh.
Why? Because, number one, this is my resistance, I have to admit. It's much easier with American family, especially Jewish family. That's so communicative. You can work in them. You know. With the Chinese, it's very, very difficult. And I have to say, there's one case, there's a Chinese girl, she's very good-looking, 16-year-old girl. She swallowed, some kind of sleeping pills. And then I thought something happened to her boyfriend. But actually, her good friend was pregnant. So she was worried for her girlfriend, and she swallowed this very, very complicated case. Therefore, she was admitted to an emergency. And both father and mother, my chief psychiatrist went there, and I was there doing translation. And it's very interesting, my chief psychiatrist tell them, you got to admit, otherwise you cannot take her back. This is a threat, this is a law. And even the father was trying to push chief psychiatrist, you know, in the life of the father, push physical interference, resist hostile animosity. I said, this is the law. So finally, this is number one. Number two, I said, you have to, not just one shot deal, you have to at least 10 sessions. I have to negotiate with 10 sessions. Finally, you bargain again, six sessions. Then finally, you have a charge. Oh, you have a charge? Oh, this is free. In China, it's all free. You know, this is everything government, you know, free, you know. Said, okay, $10 minimum. And then after fifth sessions, I found this girl, the English, very inarticulate. There's some listing. I like to refer her to psychosocial study and Sarasvati studied her learning disability, number one. Number two, the speech pathology. It was such a pain, you know.
The mother,
no way. Hey, yeah, I told my supervisor, that's, you know, I think that's it. If this girl could receive speech, correct English, and also psychosocial help, I would be much, much brighter, you know, kind of more and more function, much higher level in her future. But that's ending there. So anyway, back to your question, I think the very, you know, you can see the resistance since a while to have counseling, to have some kind of workshop, non-personal, you know, don't take personally. And that's the slogan of the book, you know. And the more workshop, much easier to elicit such kind of contact. And Asian people, you know, you don't see this upon my resistance. Unless you're very extreme, you have to have medication, you have to go to hospitalize. They don't want to talk anything with psychiatric help. That's a stigma. It's a stigma. So this morning I went to the Chinese Community Social Service and the Health Council. They are talking about there's no bilingual social worker, there's a bilingual psychologist. They're talking about, you know, this kind of thing because the pay not high, many people not so, you know, it's very hard in this field, and more available, more maybe this service more available, more accessible. More, this is why I think I'm glad the federal government, I think Bush supports this parity between mental health and physical health.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bush already supports this, more money for community workshop or something, more money.
Bigger rate.
Yes. But still, conservative senator, congressman, I think, brings a several times. And some of these kind of things. So it's more available. It's just a very, very unfortunate. You know, I think this more accessible, more understanding. And also Chinatown, so far, I'm so glad today the Chinatown health clinic is not just be one community health clinic. And it's a very good, their program they call Bridge Program. If you see people come to see psychotherapists or psychologists or psychosocial workers, all of them are right. They're doing now bridge work. I'm so glad Teddy Chin, the chief social worker, they are doing this kind of much better, more less offensive, less offending, and less, you know, impact. They are doing, it's always physician, general practitioner, or specialist, completed spot, such as psychiatric problem or mental health problem, to refer directly to on the spot. So it's very easy. Like one clinic, you don't feel, I have to serve another hurdle, another bureaucratic, you know, application form, repeating the same story. That's very humiliating. So, you know, I hope that this bridge program will be successful. This is, I feel, this so far, this is the best can do with the bridge, physical health and mental health and psychiatric, and together is less resistant and less offensive or obtrusive to personal privacy.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a great word of mine. So my question is, do you find it easier to work with educated Chinese families, or is the issue still the same?
Yes. Yes or no? Educated family become more sophisticated. They are going to be more intellectual games. It's very, it's a mouth and a catch and mouth. They are more and more intellectualized. And this is why I remember in China, they are against intellectuals, because everything intellectualized. And the Chinese, including myself, I have this problem too. Freud, there's so many defensive mechanisms. One of these, denial, Chinese, Asian, denial, and of intellectualization. The big, big denial, big, big defense mechanism, the Asian, especially Chinese. You know, I myself, oh, it's just the emperor's clothing. And so this is a very, very, I think, the culture, you know, the culture of this. This is why we want to see democratic. We have to be more functional, more practical, instead of over-intellectualized. It's true. But unless there's a crisis, there's a pressure. You want, I can share with you a case right now. I was referred by a lawyer, you know, by Hummel, in the case, and this person is an acupuncture specialist. I don't know whether he got a PhD from Harvard University. I think from Harvard, I don't know. And he's a very, very, very busy, you know. A lot of patients. And I saw him because he was involved in this case. He cursed black woman, I think, this island woman. The island woman said, oh, I didn't feel well in acupuncture. Guarantee. Must be something to do with his advertising. But I didn't feel well. You have to return the money. And this guy changed up on very bad time, poor time. And the post on the phone message, cursing directly words. And this patient, black patient, using this to report to the professional, Albany professional bureau, and trying to revoke the license, and they also had to do. Then they get the lawyer, dealing with Albany professional, dealing with the lawyer also. Finally, they get license, could be revoked 1 year. So just charge, and the $3,000 penalty. Then after a couple of months, the guy called me again. Said, what's going on? Are you too new with the adolescent? I said, yes. And the help of suicide, I said, yes. Then after a couple of weeks later, he called me, that is his son, suicidal, this way. He left a message again. I think that every time I call him, he's not available. And I called him, he only, from that time on, he only called me on emergency basis. It's a very interesting, and he's intellectually versatile, physical. And he only, Miss Ma, I respect him very much. Only you can help my son. Because, you know, you just help him, talk to him. Hold on. Then finally, I have talked with him, finally, after 2-3 months. I said, Dr. Chin, is your son in your psychiatric care medicated? Yes. Okay, that's very important. Suicidal, I cannot prescribe medication. You know, I do all kinds of therapy, family, individual, group, marital. I don't need medication. Your son needs medication. It's serious, it has to be hospitalized. Yes. And also there's some kind of a social worker, it's a doctor, who's a reporter from San Francisco, getting a license. So this social worker stimulates his son against himself. I think sometimes if you don't do good family therapy, there's always conflict with the father and the son, you know. So right now, this is why this guy, doctor, only relate to me on crisis basis. I haven't talked with him yet. I don't know whether I'm going to take cases. This is a very, prognosis very, very poor. This is why this is family cases. And himself, you can see, bad-tempered, treating his own patients that way, and he's a very judgmental person. You know, I told him, I said, look, this guy. Oh, Mr. Ma, you don't have to work hard. Let me just see him a few minutes. That's it. Oh my gosh. He already made your treatment plan already made for me. Everything made for me. All I have to do is just talk with him. I get a check. Oh my gosh, I couldn't do this. I'm going to travel by his such kind of whatever. So this is the.
Did you accept
him? He's very generous, you know. He's,
oh,
he's very,
he
yeah, he's very generous. I have to say, he's very generous. You know, this is very. I cannot be trapped. It's going to be very, very. This is why intellectually higher, it's more sophisticated.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard,
And so this is why, how much, as a patient, how much you want to go, how much you reveal yourself, emotion, availability is very important. But I always said, the personality, there are two things, correct me, Dr. Liu. And the personality is only two things. Dr. Liu is a social professor at NYU, social school. His personality is only two things. One's emotional, one's intellectual. So that's why many children, they're so smart, but the emotion is so, you know, incompatible. This is a vital problem. So smart, you know, maybe 15 years old, emotionally, intellectually, and emotionally, maybe 10 or whatever. This is why the conflict, they cannot reconcile themselves. And like this family, I can tell the parents and the child, it's a lot of very authority, judgmental. We see growing up this kind of father, do you think this child has a room to breathe the freedom air at home? Everything in the father authority rule.
Yes. It seems that you know that a lot of these cases that you cited belong to immigrant families. And that there's a deep cultural divide between the parents and the children. And I'm just wondering, you know, for the immigrant parents especially, there seems to be a lack of any kind of media that will help them to make that adjustment. Whereas the children, they are adapted to American society, etc. And, you know, with the new culture, new, you know, Asian Americans, etc. But there's nothing. There's no newspaper. I mean, there's newspaper, but the newspaper do not provide that sort of introduction. There's no TV, even though there is TV, but there's no TV program that helps the parents to make adjustment to what is going on here.
Yes, you're right. I mentioned somewhere, you know, first of all, the parents, just simple, haven't reached your level yet. The teacher, the student, come here. The chronological American, even you were 10 years old in China, only they start 8 in the second grade. But here, 6 or 6, they place them into 4th grade. You know, 10th and 4th grade start 6. So always 2-3 years late. But they have no training, they have no English training. I always wonder if they should give them the whole class training, you know, 6 months or 3 months training English. Under Wang Wu, Mr. Wu, I think he's the highest important
he also feels frustrated about in board education. There's no such kind of facility to give them, you know, the immigrant parents educating, you know, the certain understanding of the function, the system, PTA, and how children, so, such kind of education system, understanding general ground background, and give the parents some, I guess, somewhere or so, not agency, but give the parents some basic education, school, how the school function, have no idea how the school function, how the children function, have no idea, just struggle, you know, one day they even, when I call, you know, trying to make an appointment, you just come in, you have to mouse the catch, you have to tell them this, you go 3 times, you call them, you say, I'm an immigrant officer, they're so scared, but somebody else, you know, their telephone, I have to call Boston to find them, get in New York. They have to get convicted or free to get that telephone. So small. The family has said at school, oh, the voice changed, loud and comfortable.
communities. Yeah. They're so scared of the immigration office, especially.
Because that's part of what you talked about before, which is the isolation, particularly the father. But that kid, you see, the student comes out, and the student is the representative of the family. See, I only know them when they get to university. There's no question that the families, it's not as though the families distrust education and distrust the school. They don't. They're saying, go to the school and go to the college, which is marvelous, but you're on your own. And this is fascinating because you're quite right that it's a different model. It's not an anti-education. It's not anti-intellectual. Yeah. And it's not anti-school. It's just you're on your own. You go to school. It's your school. It's your society. We're not, you know, you're going to go do this on your own. It's fascinating. What
you are saying exactly, they are respond to you and they will respond to each other. They put the child in your school. You know, the same school.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
The school will take care.
Yeah.
You know, the school will take care anyway.
Yeah.
Not here.
No.
Not here. The parents have to participate.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is, in China, I'm not quite familiar with Japanese educational system or Korean, but in China, there's no such a thing as parental involvement in school. Your child is in school, school is responsible from 8 to 5.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's how in China, you know, since you're, you know, a little child, I was in kindergarten 6 days a week. Never saw my mom till Sunday. So that's how it's done. And you just grow up with other kids, and the school teacher is your mom or your dad. They beat you up when you're not behaving. Yeah. That's how it's done. And so when their parent, you know, when they come to this country where everything involves the voice of the parents and everything else, Chinese parents just don't, I don't think they are capable of getting involved.
But I think also the concepts are different.
Yeah.
The both words, you know, in China, only when the child is in trouble, then the school would call the parents.
Right.
My parents were very happy that they never had to go to school.
They never received the phone.
No,
right.
Yeah, I wasn't in trouble.
Right.
And so the situation is totally different.
Yeah.
And here the teacher is so overwhelmed. Some of the, you know, just for example, 10 years old boy, they come to the second grade, so look at the ceiling, sleep. You know what the teacher said? You're a little troublemaking. So we promote him here to your 5th grade, 6th grade. Wow, kind of, they discover, refers to very disabled, it's foolish. The pattern response to school is already set. So that's why it's such, you know, really, you know, it's very so hard, you know, so much time wasted already. And that's why the teacher, you know, so glad to have the child sleep. You know, why? You know, I remember, many, many parents even know their children, even if no good, they don't want to promote. The teacher says, it's good, it's all right. Promote. But the child, some of the parents smart know my son, my children, English school should, you know, should take over, help over. Many teachers, you know, just surprised, why not promote? So the teacher involvement, and some of the teachers very devoted, and even spend his own time to tutor in after school. Some of the, I see something, depending on teacher.
Yeah.
And depending on the school. And many parents, some of the rich parents, they hire a tutor doing, they hire a high school kid doing, but they still do not involve themselves. They have no comprehensive education plan. And as you said, you know, many parents just let them study. So it's very important, the peer learning, so important learning, and how to get better school, better educated, better homework. And I always mention to increase their social skill. It's very important for children because there's not much you can do at home.
the social skill is really important here. So the emotional skill, you know, you cannot, you know, when I always said, you know, in here, if somebody, oh, we have a friend that's a very good people. Because political style is more painful. I'm kind of bitter about it. Because emotionally, the social skill, it can, you know, changeable. But if for too quiet by themselves, even very good, is I'm never about what this consideration. So I've always advocated family. And recently I think the community is doing better than before, still far behind. And community participation. And another same problem. You know, always, you know, you mentioned about the, you know, the community should give, I advocate, give the meeting monthly, all the parents, whoever you have, the school come, just come and learn, answer questions. Because the Chinatown is very hard to find a place, and because, and I'm very limited to the location. And I'm trying to get some kind of sponsor monthly. It's very, very hard. There's so many power struggle, credit getting, and space finding. And it's very, very hard. I'm trying to do just monthly, just parent education, that's it, orientation. Because through this kind of community meeting, not only parent, you think, but the problem you can do always.
Okay. No, I just wonder. I think that the TPD parents involved and they're all very good. But judging from the attendance of our meetings here, that sort of thing, sometimes we just can't make it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, the role that media should play.
Yes, yes.
For example, every time we have one of those horrible incidents, then the newspaper would write about it for a week, all headlines. And then after that, it's nothing. But I think that they are not really solving some of the problems that, say, about the intergenerational kind of communication. The kids, they have a different life. They're not in China, they're in America, they're in New York. They have all kinds of friends. They have all kinds of expectations. And that sort of thing. But the parents, they don't. And so the parents, they live pretty much in the same way that they are in China. They can envelope themselves in Chinese media, newspapers, and television, even with satellite communication, as if they have never left China or Hong Kong or Taiwan.
Yeah, that's right. No different. Eating the food and talking, watch a video, the Chinese offer Chinese food.
So in other words, they're living in two really very different worlds.
Yeah.
And if you insist on your rule, on your way, then you're bound to have problems.
Yes. This is the thing, and a lot of situation, and we're already here, and another thing I'm thinking about here, the give and take, the sharing, and I've got a lot of concept. We not sharing enough, share, give. And it's so important to share. I always mention about, when you are settled, struggle, finish your work, share a little bit. Doesn't have church, you can call it 5% more of it. Share the good news of your work. You throw free, you get a gene, come back.
When you think as well as you're doing it for Chinese, a lot of people don't balance here.
This is the thing.
And what the general was saying about the culture, like the TV and the food, it happens to a lot of other cultures. They are so involved in their own, wherever they came from.
This is how you want to move forward, slow, fast, depend on the whole community. You want to move forward, depend on really depends a lot of reasons, depend on your courage, how to break the ice. And some people has to the courage, break the ice, that, you know, that come, you know, doing so much work for the area. This is very important, and really for the community, you know, and especially Chinese always worship the academic authority. It's really important. And it's a really, you know, when I mentioned, oh, I see everybody, you know, every. So I also took the time. And also, about Chinese paper, the rule. You know what, Chinese, I myself, I did the journalism in Taiwan. And I didn't pass, but I read a lot of books. I didn't pass, you know, graduate school. But I read a lot of books. And here is very, I think, it's very good. Word journal, I understand. When you go there, you see someone who has that relationship. The next, after a couple of weeks, a new face. What's your name? Where are you working? The start beginning. And someone says, I have to educate them, you know, the heart of the city government, these things. The whole political structure not clear. Not, you know, the title, the position, the responsibility, the structure, the political community structure, how is it working out. Every newsroom for them to work. You have to start with every new faces. I don't understand it. This is the journalism. It's so important. People are such a rule. Some, I feel so lonely. Maybe something, you know, please. Do something with your only publisher. Word journal, Xindao. There is too much time with it. You know, some Xindao lady, it's a big, big newspaper. You know what? The whole page. Other than logo, you know what? The whole page is commercial. Xindao. Why such insult? The whole page is first, can you imagine New York Times? The first page, no headline, just commercial. Such an insult.
So that may be one of the answers to your question. Why can't the media step up and write an analytic piece that goes deep enough into a problem or a situation like one of these stories? The way their famous New Yorker stories on child abuse or domestic violence doesn't happen. One of the reasons, perhaps, is you've got a revolving door in some of these newspapers. They're at it. People don't. They're not on the ground long enough to really understand any of these problems. But it would take a committed editor and reporter to say, let's run a series on this, or on this family, what happened to this family, why did they blow up, you know, what's going on in the Chinese or in the immigrant family. Even, you know, it'd have to be one of those sort of think pieces. It takes a special kind of journalist, a special kind of editor.
I'm sure that even the chief editors or some of the reporters from the field that related to
medical. Mm-hmm.
So,
isn't it?
For,
right.
To my knowledge, quite many of them are relatively immigrants, and they have the capacity to communicate in English somewhat, and then they, you know, because they're a good writer, they're hired, and the frequent turnover is an issue. But among the people, I've been here for 5 years, and among the news reporters, and I know some of the chief editors, they really still live in pretty much the Asian Chinese niche, rather than they have integrated to the mainstream. We have come to the country at the same time. You know, it's my high school and college classmate. You know, they become the chief editor of the newspaper. So we've been here for the same amount of time, except they do not communicate to the outside world. It's not just the amount of time they are here, it's the level of acculturation. How much they got the opportunity, you know, to integrate or to communicate with the mainstream. And also psychology is not an area of Chinese, it is a Western discipline.
Sure.
You know, and then with the Chinese community, even though they have the department in most of the universities now, but nevertheless, the journal topic not included in their way of problem solving or how they perceive that as a solution. You know, they don't really buy into the concept that mental health, you know, that's sort of so foreign. Yeah, the stigma is incredible.
Yeah.
In many cultures that might be true, but in this culture, in a lot of Asians, they are relatively immune here. They are not mostly either the first generation or second generation. But that is sort of more entrenched in them. And plus they're not really in the realm of peace when they're good. So they can be here for a long, long time. Doesn't mean their world of thinking has changed.
That's right. And I think that the development is that in the past, I think that you don't have, for example, satellite TV. With this satellite TV, this is they're totally isolated from the American life. And they go to work, they come back, they click on, and then they read the newspaper, and then there's no interaction. They don't even look at the mass media here. So there's no way for them.
The issue is the funding source. To my knowledge, all those newspapers, their funding are from overseas. Hongdao is from Hong Kong. Sijie is from World Journal is from Taiwan. Okay. You know, they have their funding source from abroad, and their purpose is different from the Asian Americans' purpose. Their purpose is to serve the immigrant population, is a commercial, is a, you know, everything different goals.
I think that you're absolutely right about that. It's the need for the Asian American perspective.
From here.
Right, from here. That needs to be translated to especially the parents. I mean, for the kids, it's easier. I mean, they will be undergoing all sorts of changes. But for the parents, it's very difficult unless, for example, if the station takes on a different kind of perspective, namely the Asian American perspective.
Yeah, I think maybe
I'm just saying, you know, the isolation to the degree you cannot imagine. I'll give you an example. Just before coming, I had a student. She was a physician from Shanghai. She has been in this country for 7 years. And she showed me a piece because this is semester end. She said she's studying ESL at our college. And she said the professor told the whole class to put all the compositions they wrote for this semester together and write an introduction, putting a folder nicely done, you know. And she wanted me to look at her introduction. And I looked at it. I said, what are you saying? Nothing. Empty. Because you just said, oh yeah, the professor told me to write the introduction. I don't know whether I can write that. That's it. I said, the introduction, what's the purpose of an introduction? You have to say something about all your pieces, you know. So nothing. So one thing she said, that just I think it's related to what we are talking about. She said, this past 3 months really changed her life. She said she didn't know English, you know. And for the past 7 years, she was totally isolated from the outside world. You know, she went to work as a home attendant. She was a physician from Shanghai. Very good looking, you know. I think she's about 40, but still very good looking, you know, woman. And from home to the place to work, come home. That's it. She had no contact from outside world. And even the student I talked about our valedictorian nights at Hunter, you know, during our banquet. And then Hunter College president told me to send this student to see her. She tried to get some scholarship for him. So I called him. And so he did go. And then we told him he had to send an email or something. So I had a follow-up call, asked him, you know, what's going on? He wasn't home. That was 9:30 because he had to work till 10:30. His father is a house painter. And so I said to his father, I said, I really want to congratulate your son. You know, your son's so good. I said, did your son talk to you? He said, we seldom see each other. We seldom see each other.
Exactly.
He said he works 7 days. He's a house painter. 5 days he works for a company. And on weekends, you know, whatever odd job he could get. And so he doesn't see his son. So he doesn't read newspapers. He doesn't watch TV. I mean, it's the survival thing. So what can you do? And luckily, the son did very well, you know,
yes.
Worked 50 hours a week and plus full-time study and still graduate as a valedictorian. That's a very unusual, but that's the situation. The whole family, you know, the father works 7 days, the mother, because there's the five people in the family, so she has to do all the cleaning, washing, cooking, you know, and also she's not in good health. And they don't have health insurance. And the two younger sisters, one is physically very bad, couldn't do anything, attending high school. And the older sister, also younger than he is, attending Lehman, also working hourly, you know, like $3 an hour. And the older sister just graduated from high school, also is working like $4 or $5 a week. It's really below the minimum wage. So where do they have time to get together? No. No.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Maybe it seems flippant to say, but sometimes maybe you get a message that there's something that is more important than just making, you know, more money and getting more secure.
Not the more money, it's the survival.
Yeah.
They don't even have health insurance. Okay? They can't afford it.
It's easy. It's a survival of making money.
Yeah.
And I want to, I think this is so popular that we will come play with a funding, you know, the funding, who kind of funding to fund the public education, you know, and the public education helps journalism. Because many journalists, they treat the murder case just as a news.
Yeah.
It's just purely news, as we see, wow, serious, the quiet, the tragedies. And after three, not only I have to say, I don't know how to do it, in Chinese the community, when I saw this case, Connie Leung, November, I personally tried to write the letters to several agents. I don't get much feedback. And I said, I tried to, try and stimulate some interest, discuss this is a serious case.
Yeah.
Even professional agencies, not much report at all. And anyway, back to the newspaper. Newspaper treats it just news, purely news, that's it. Then after a couple of weeks, they find someone, Susan Chen, to talk about what happened, that's it. And make announcements, so we have. Then after that, it died down, away, nothing happened. Then another couple, few months later, happened against that stream, again, something. So I always, I myself, my experience shows you, we Asians have no issue, including all minorities, no issue. But especially black, Puerto Rican have more issues, The Asians are very poor. We have no issues other than lion dance, fireworks, So whenever there's an issue, I said, the police, grab it. Especially Canal Street, the traffic, 1 year killed 10 people.
Sure.
This is very interesting, the MTA change. I myself, I do this in community involvement. I learn by doing. Because I'm also on the community board too, in charge of from Canal Street North to 14th Street, south, from Bowers to the river. And MTA, without notified China community, no public hearing, no notified to the community. They closed Grand Street. They just closed Grand Street. The business, commuter, garment factory, shock. So there's a protest that things, I was involved, one of them. And the family, we went to the MTA police. And finally, at that time, I was a little knowledge. I knew the structure, political structure. I said, come on, don't forget about MTA. Go to governor, just like now. Everybody, MTA, city mayor. No. I'm glad the chief, you know, something said, it's a governor.
Yeah.
Governor appointed 15 board, and he controlled the whole board. And this is how Robert Moses created his agency,
yes.
Monster agency. Doesn't belong to city, doesn't belong to state. It's a very old, independent thing, but basically in the hand of the government. And the governor, after he got elected, you know what he said? I don't get involved. I don't see that. Excuse me. You know, anyway. So the structure is very important. MTA and give China for three workshops about Canal Street. I feel so you know, I was busy, so I finally, I said, conflict the time. I went there for 10 minutes. And it was a shock. Even than this. 3-4 people present. Manatee has about a dozen people, audio vision. Wow, so many things, so many toes, audio whistle toes. And the news reporters have a dozen Chinese news. Audience.
4 people.
CCBA only. 3-4 of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm a kind of emotional person. You know, I was speak up when they finished. I said, what happened? I even blame them to, you know, publicity actually did. But it's a very interesting thing. Why Chinese people, when you read, I'm the person, when I read something, I go, I do it. But mostly, you know, many people, they don't. So I do it. So I finally, Dong Li, I myself, you know, Dong Li, and Dong Li is associated with CCBA, I have to say, I think more, they don't know. I do my work. I make a lot of phone calls, Sing Dong Journal, Robin Moy, and several people have called, okay. I'm still happy. I'm feeling it. I'm mostly, I think, their power. Because CCBA, Chinese Benevolent Concern, they are more power, I have to say. You know. So, when fourth workshop, they give fourth workshop, I feel so happy. This is God's sin. They only plan three workshops, that's it. They give us fourth, I feel so happy. You know, finally, you know. When there's three workshops, I feel good for China. You know, China newspaper are also published, but they can. So, fourth workshop. I'm so happy, 200 people are here.
Oh, that's good.
I'm so happy.
That's better.
This is the thing. How you mobilize a community. You have to, even newspaper publicize notice, they don't respond. You have to call them or please come. You know, the face. Face value.
Face.
Yeah, like, please come. They come. Yeah, I don't understand. Why have to beg them? They come. Otherwise, they don't come. This is my, you know, I don't understand in consumer the Chinese mentality.
In a way, you know, the people who have immigrated here, even though they have been here for a relatively long period of time, but in their mental state, they're encapsulated the time of departure from where they were. So most places they immigrated from were not so democratically oriented, focused the time when they left. But now if you go back to Asia, when you go back to Taiwan now, people have demonstration on the street, people have all kinds of activities. But the time when I left, it was a very different era. So that was my mentality of being a good citizen. That's how we behave. But if, you know, say my nephews, the ones who came here now, even though they just got to the United States, like, you know, less than a year, they talk, you know, very different tones. Because they are...
The new mentality,
the way the way of thinking is different from the immigrants who came here for a while. So a lot of times the place they came from and their political structure, their I know I'm not from China, so I do not know how safe that is in China for a number of years back to actively participate, voice your opinion, you know. I don't know how wise that would be.
Yes.
You know, now they are in a totally different place, the democratic system, it's in the voting system, but it's so contrary to...
This new brand, this is a new brand. They are more aggressive, more involved.
But if you look at the young people who just arrived, and they are very different from people who are in Chinatown.
That's true. You're talking another thing. The culture gap is very different. Sephardic Jew in New York, many years, they still maintain the old. No, now the new Sephardic Jew, the immigrants from Spain, they don't do this kind of thing anymore. but local New York, they still don't know.
Yeah, they really encapsulate in their own time.
Of course, this is why they find Parker makes me feel good, and I think that's all still good, that's all I have, and nothing else. This is why people don't learn. That's the only thing, the whole world, that's the line of dance. That's, you know, it's so we're trying to open up, I think, the culture of opening up, trust, not to trust, not to move forward.